Welcome to the Shortwave Report for March 16, 2012. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast or a computer with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can find a schedule for dozens of international broadcasters in English. There you can also listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from China Radio International, NHK World Radio Japan, Spanish National Radio, Radio Havana Cuba, and Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. We'll begin with China Radio International. Japan held memorials last Sunday, the first anniversary of the Fukushima tragedy. The Islamic Jihad in Gaza is claiming victory in the now-ended battle with Israel that saw 25 Palestinians killed. China is saying that it is not engaged in trade protectionism over its restricted sales of rare earth minerals. China Radio International.
Japanese Emperor Akihito, Empress Mikiko, and Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda stood in silence with hundreds of others at a memorial service marking the first anniversary of Japan's horrific earthquake and tsunami. A moment of silence was observed across Japan at 2:46 p.m. local time. That was the exact time the 9-magnitude quake struck on March 11, 2011, unleashing a tsunami, killing over 19,000 people and triggering the world's most nuclear crisis in a quarter century. Noda pledged to rebuild the nation and the area around the tsunami-stricken Fukushima nuclear power plant.
1年の歳月を経ました。 亡くなられた方々の無念さ。
We feel deep sorrow for those who have died and for the family members of those who died, and we do not cease to feel it with the passing of the year. We will remember them for the rest of our lives.
Emperor Akihito also made a brief address in which he paid homage to the spirit of the survivors and the efforts of the rescuers.
This time we feel deep appreciation for the human spirit of the survivors, for the people who came to help in the disaster area, and for those working to contain the nuclear incident.
The March 11th earthquake was the strongest recorded in Japan's history, destroying tens of thousands of homes and wreaking widespread havoc. Some 100,000 residents who were forced to flee remain in temporary housing or with relatives, and a 20-kilometer area around the plant is still off-limits. Japanese authorities say no one has died from radiation exposure around Fukushima, but residents are worried the radiation might manifest as cancer in coming years. Nuclear power supplied about 30% of the nation's energy needs before the disaster.
Islamic Jihad in Gaza is claiming victory following the announcement of a ceasefire on Tuesday. The head of the movement in the Gaza Strip has told supporters it is the resistance movement in the Palestinian territory that forced Israel's hand. An Egyptian-brokered ceasefire signed off on Tuesday, ended nearly 5 days of intense Israeli airstrikes into Gaza. These strikes were in retaliation for a series of rocket attacks, which began on Friday after an Israeli strike killed a senior Palestinian militant leader. The intensified fighting has left 25 Palestinians dead. China's Ministry of Commerce has issued a new statement saying that China is not engaged in trade protectionism. The comments come after the European Union, the United States and Japan on Tuesday formally asked the WTO, the World Trade Organization, to settle a dispute with China over rare earth export restrictions. At the same time, the head of the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, Miao Wei, says that the Chinese side stands ready to defend its policies in the WTO. China supplies more than 90% of the world's rare earths.
Those reports were from China Radio International, heard from 4 to 5 p.m. at 11970, and from 6 p.m. to 11 at either 9790, 6020, or 6190, or on the web at english.cri.cn. All the times I'm announcing are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so adjust them to your time zone. On to NHK World Radio Japan. Japan, the United States, and the European Union will file complaints with the World Trade Organization over China's rare earth sales. The International Atomic Energy Agency is concerned about the safety of all nuclear power plants over 20 years old. Prime Minister Noda wants to begin restarting Japan's nuclear power plants, but public sentiment is strongly opposed. Radiation levels at the Fukushima nuclear power plant are still too high for workers to inspect or repair. Next month, Japan will enforce tougher limits on radiation presence in food products. NHK Japan.
Japan, the United States, and the European Union say they will file complaints against China with the World Trade Organization. They claim that China is unfairly restricting exports of rare earth metals. The three parties announced the coordinated action on Tuesday. The U.S. has been asking China to revise its export restrictions while investigations continue, but little has changed. China produces more than 90% of the world's rare earths. The materials are used in a variety of high-tech products. The U.S. is preparing to resume its own production. The three parties plan to negotiate with China in accordance with the WTO procedures. If they cannot solve the issue through the talks, they will request dispute settlement consultation.
China's foreign ministry has defended the country's policy on controlling exports of rare earth minerals. Ministry spokesperson Liu Weimin said on Tuesday that the government has a policy of controlling rare earth exports to protect the environment and the country's natural resources, and that the policy concurs with WTO rules. The spokesperson also said the argument that China is monopolizing the rare earth minerals market is groundless, adding that the country has never stopped exports of such minerals, despite environmental pressure to do so.
The International Atomic Energy Agency says it's concerned about the safety of the world's nuclear power plants, as 80% are more than 20 years old. The UN Nuclear Watchdog sent a draft of its annual report to member countries. The draft says 80% of the 435 facilities in operation were more than two decades old at the end of last year. 43% are between 20 and 29 years old, 32% are 30 to 39 years old, and 5% are older than 40 years. IAEA Director General Yukiya Amano said nuclear power should remain a major energy resource as long as safety of facilities is strictly monitored. The agency wants cooperation from member countries to examine their nuclear plants in a bid to reinforce safety standards.
Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda has pledged to seek public support for restarting nuclear reactors in the country after the Fukushima nuclear plant accident last March. Japan's Nuclear Safety Commission will soon announce results of its review of stress tests on the two halted reactors at the Oi nuclear plant in central Japan. Speaking in the Diet on Wednesday, Noda said restarting the Oi reactors depends on whether the government can convince local residents that it's safe to do so. All of Japan's 54 nuclear reactors will be in shutdown mode by late April, when the last two go offline for regular inspection.
High levels of radiation have been detected near suppression chambers of two of the reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. The radiation levels are too high for workers to continue inspections. On Wednesday, for the first time since the accident a year ago, Tokyo Electric Power Company sent workers to the basement of the number 2 and number 3 reactor buildings to examine the suppression chambers. At the number 2 reactor building, workers opened the door to the suppression chamber and detected a maximum radiation of 160 millisieverts per hour. The door to the chamber at the number 3 reactor had been damaged and couldn't be opened. The maximum radiation outside the door was 75 millisieverts per hour. Tokyo Electric says robots are needed for future inspections because the radiation levels at the two reactors are too high for workers to carry out repairs.
Japan's health ministry is reviewing guidelines for food inspections ahead of the April introduction of tougher content limits on radioactive cesium. The new safety standard will limit the amount of cesium in rice, vegetables, and other general foodstuffs to 100 becquerels per kilogram, or one-fifth the current limit. Local governments are in charge of handling sample inspections. The health ministry plans to have them carry out tougher screening of items that were found to contain at least 100 becquerels of cesium over the past year. Municipalities that detect at least 50 becquerels in any of these items will be required to continue screening at least 3 samples a week. Such testing will be mandatory regardless of cesium levels in 6 prefectures, including Fukushima, where shipments of certain products have been banned in the past. As for fish and other seafood, testing will be required for 32 items, including bottom-dwelling flatfish. Samples of these fish hauled in Fukushima and 4 other prefectures previously turned up cesium in excess of 50 becquerels per kilogram. The new testing guidelines will be in effect from April.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan, heard from 9 to 9:30 p.m. at 6110 or on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. Next, Radio Havana, Cuba. Afghan students staged protest after an American soldier murdered 16 civilians and burned many of the bodies. More than 3/4 of Brits polled do not believe a victory in Afghanistan is possible, and 55% want an immediate withdrawal of troops. The U.S. is investigating the Afghan Air Force for transporting drugs and weapons. Argentina has formally declared that the Malvina Islands are theirs and not what the British claim as the Falklands. Peru has officially passed a law banning genetically modified ingredients anywhere in the country for a full decade before a review. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Hundreds of students in eastern Afghanistan staged a protest in response to the latest massacre of civilians by a U.S. Army soldier, shouting angry slogans against the United States and its occupation troops. The killings have caused outrage in Afghanistan just weeks after violent protests broke out after U.S. soldiers burned Muslim holy books and other Islamic texts. Students protested on the campus of the university in Jalalabad, 80 miles east of the capital, Kabul, chanting, "Death to America," and "Death to the soldier who killed our civilians." Some protesters burned an effigy of U.S. President Barack Obama. Some carried out a banner that called for a public trial of the soldier, while others said that he should be tried as a war criminal and executed by the victim's relatives. In the aftermath of the Karen bombings last month, more than 30 people were killed in the protests, and Afghan forces turned their guns on their supposed allies, killing 6 U.S. troops. U.S.-Afghan strains appeared to be easing as recently as last Friday, when the two governments signed a memorandum of understanding about the transfer of Afghan detainees to Afghan control. In the Afghan parliament, however, lawmakers on Monday called for a halt to talks on the strategic partnership document until there was a confirmation that the soldier behind the shooting rampage would face justice in Afghanistan. More than 3/4 of Britons believe that the war in Afghanistan is unwinnable, and 55% want British troops to be withdrawn immediately, according to a poll released in London on Tuesday. Publication of the survey conducted by the ComRes Institute came as British Prime Minister David Cameron was set to fly to Washington for crucial talks on Afghanistan with U.S. President Barack Obama. The two leaders are expected to discuss troop withdrawal plans in light of recent developments in Afghanistan. The figures showed that 73% of Britons believe the conflict cannot be won, an increase from 60% a year ago. More than half of Britons responding to the survey said they want British troops to be withdrawn immediately.
And U.S. officials have confirmed they are investigating the Afghan Air Force for potential drug and weapons trafficking. According to the Wall Street Journal, a number of Afghan Air Force officials are suspected of using military aircraft for drug running and moving weapons across Afghanistan.
The Chamber of Deputies of Argentina discussed the declaration of Ushia on Wednesday during this year's first formal session. The document ratifies the country's sovereignty over the Malvina Islands and rejects the militarist and colonialist attitude of Great Britain. The document, approved on February 25th by the Parliamentary Committees on Foreign Affairs, also condemns the legitimate unilateral fishing activities and prospecting carried out by London in the South Atlantic region, as recently announced by the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee of Argentina's Chamber of Deputies, Guillermo Carmona. Once approved by the legislature, the declaration will be sent to various international forums and parliaments around the world to ratify Argentina's stance on the Malvinas.
In a massive blow to multinational agribusiness corporations such as Monsanto, Bayer, and Dow, Peru has officially passed a law banning genetically modified ingredients anywhere within the country for a full decade before coming up for another review. Peru's plenary session of the Congress made the decision 3 years after the decree was written, despite previous governmental pushes for GM legislation. This push was largely due to the pressure from farmers that form the Parque de la Papa in Cusco, a farming community of 6,000 people that represents six communities. They worry that the introduction of genetically modified organisms will compromise the native species of Peru, such as the giant white corn, purple corn, and of course the famous species of Peruvian potatoes. Aníbal Huerta, president of Peru's Agrarian Commission, said that the ban was needed to prevent the danger that can arise from the use of biotechnology. While the ban will curb the planting and importation of GMOs in the country, a test conducted by the Peruvian Association of Consumers and Users at the time of the ban's implementation found that 77% of supermarket products tested contained genetically modified contaminants. GMOs are so prevalent in the Americas that it is virtually impossible to truly and completely block them, whether through pollinization or being sneaked in as processed food.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba, heard from 2 to 3 p.m. at 11760 and from 4 to 11 p.m. at either 6060, 6010, or 6000. Also streaming on the web from 4 to 11 p.m. at www.radiohc.cu and now podcasting at World Radio Network, WRN.org. On to Spanish National Radio. Spanish researchers have shown the effectiveness of a molecule found in common Spanish forest for treating cancer. Bolivian President Morales wants to decriminalize the coca leaf. The European Parliament wants women to occupy 40% of the seats in boards of companies. Then three press reviews about popular protest in Spain. Spanish National Radio.
A team of Spanish scientists at the Cancer and Inflammation Unit of the Carlos III Health Institute has demonstrated the potential of hispanolona, a molecule found in common forest plants, to combat tumours. The study, carried out in collaboration with two other institutions, the Center for Scientific Investigation and the Department of Pharmacology at Madrid's Complutense University, has been published this month.
Natural products play an essential role in the discovery of medicines, especially those used to treat cancer, where 60% of the drugs used are natural in origin. The plants used in these tests are common to the Iberian Peninsula and the region of Madrid, and have been shown to combat tumours when studied in vitro and in vivo models. The molecule of the hispanolona produces have been shown to kill different tumour cells, and preclinical data also shows that these derivatives are not toxic to normal cells. The next stage of study will be clinical testing.
Bolivian President Evo Morales is campaigning to decriminalize the coca leaf and correct what he calls an historical error that outlawed leaf chewing 50 years ago. Attending a United Nations Narcotics Convention in Vienna, Mr. Morales waved a leaf in the air and defended what he said was an ancient and harmless tradition.
The United States has said it would oppose the Bolivian proposal, calling the 50-year-old convention an important tool in the global struggle against narcotics trafficking. Mr. Morales, however, did pledge to combat cocaine trafficking. The European Parliament has backed calls for quotas to put more women into company boardrooms if member states are deemed too slow to act. The EU Commission wants the proportion of female board members at big companies to rise by 40% by 2020, from the current average of 12%.
The Commission has said it may legislate to make quotas compulsory. Belgium, France, Italy, the Netherlands and Spain are among the countries that have already introduced gender quotas for companies. Euro MPs in Strasbourg also call for EU-wide measures to boost female representation in politics.
The Madrid daily El País, Spain's biggest selling newspaper, runs the headline, "The Unions Gain Momentum Taking to the Street," and reports that tens of thousands of people turned out to protest against the labor reform. The Daily adds that Ignacio Fernández Tocho, the Secretary General of Spain's largest labor union, Workers' Commissions, says that if Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy doesn't take corrective steps, the conflict over labor reform in Spain won't end with the general strike that the unions have called for the 29th of March. Another Madrid daily, El Mundo, says that Spain's two largest labor unions, Workers' Commissions and the General Workers' Union, or UGT, have maneuvered to gain the support of the so-called indignant ones of the May 15th movement against the labor reform. The daily quotes a UGT leader as saying that those who lied to us before continue to lie to us. El Mundo also reports that, because of lack of funds, the Spanish Treasury is not paying former Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero and the ministers of his socialist government the salaries they are due as ex-ministers. The Barcelona daily, La Vanguardia, prints a photograph of the Alcalá Gate in Madrid, where protest marchers in the Spanish capital listened to the speeches of union leaders. Noting that the protests took place in some 60 cities across Spain, La Vanguardia says that the discrepancies in estimations of the numbers of protesters were enormous, with organizers speaking of 500,000 demonstrators in Madrid versus 30,000, according to the Interior Ministry, and 450,000 in Barcelona versus 17,000, according to police authorities.
Those reports were from Spanish National Radio, heard from 5 to 6 p.m. at 5970 and podcasting at www.rtve.es. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or would like to make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Donations are the only financial support I receive for producing this program. We will conclude with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. The new government of Spain is rapidly changing labor laws and meeting huge popular resistance. A massive strike is scheduled for the end of March. Radio Deutsche Welle.
Spain's conservative government has been in power for less than 3 months, and already it faces the prospect of a general strike. Unions are angry at a new labour reform, and while the government hopes the legislation will eventually help bring the country's soaring jobless rate under control, critics say it will make a crisis-ridden labour market even worse. Guy Hedgeco reports from Madrid.
These demonstrators chanted against the government's labour reform as they protested in Madrid last Sunday. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets of the capital and 60 other towns and cities across the country, reflecting the anger that this sweeping reform has stirred.
We don't agree with the fact that the government is taking advantage of this situation to make the people pay for the crisis.
The employers have all the power to establish all the conditions of the labor market, okay? Salaries, working conditions, economic situation of the workers. So it is like the Middle Ages. It's like going backwards like a century.
339, sí, 197.
Deputies of the governing Popular Party celebrated when the reform received congressional approval on March the 8th. They and Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy believe that in the long term, the new law will help tackle Spain's unemployment rate, which at 23% is the highest in Europe. But the day after the reform's congressional backing, unions announced a general strike against it for March 29th, and a recent poll showed that nearly two-thirds of Spaniards disapprove of the law. So why is it so controversial? One reason is that it makes firing much cheaper for employers. Previously, many workers were eligible to receive up to 45 days' pay per year worked in compensation if they were laid off. That has been reduced to 33 days. There are also less obstacles to workers being dismissed. Javier Dos of the Comisiones Obreras Union says this is the wrong way to tackle unemployment.
In this crisis, we have lost near 3 million jobs, no? With an apparently high cost of dismissal. If the cost of dismissal will be reduced, we would have more dismissal.
Also, collective bargaining has swung in favour of employers, allowing them, for instance, to reduce salaries unilaterally if their company's profits are down. In addition, there's the fact that unions felt they were not consulted enough ahead of the reform's unveiling, which they say breaks Spain's tradition of carefully balanced labour relations. While the unions and many other Spaniards staunchly oppose the labour reform, there are others, particularly those who invest in the country's beleaguered industries, who believe it could be the saviour of the Spanish economy.
Probably is the most important reform ever done in this economy in the last three decades.
Alberto Nadal is a senior spokesman for Spain's Confederation of Employers and Industries.
We have to do many things in the Spanish economy. We have to put in order the public accounts. We have to develop a reform of the financial sector. And we have to make a labor reform. The most important one, by far, is the labor reform, because the labor market was the singularity of the Spanish market, what made the difference between Spain and other economies. And now, after the reform, we are much more in line with other European countries.
Nadal says Spain's labor market had until now been stuck in a 1970s time warp, keeping it rigid and uncompetitive. He says that while the new reform needs time to take effect, the fact it cuts severance packages is a crucial step towards making the market more flexible.
The main problem for the business community is that our companies do not want to hire more people because severance costs are very, very high. Would you buy a car if you knew that when you sell it off, you have to pay a lot of money?
These arguments don't convince Javier Dos of Comisiones Obreras Union, who says the government's overall strategy of reform and austerity is misguided.
This wrong policy says, for the employment is necessary to make structural reforms, reform of the labour market, etc. This is a wrong policy. And the employment will come from the economic growth.
Spain isn't expecting to see economic growth for some time, with the country falling back into recession this year. And with unemployment still rising, it's not clear when, if at all, the new labour reform will start to create jobs. With a general strike already scheduled, a safer forecast for the coming months is that there will be many more scenes like this on Spain's streets. Guy Hedgeco, DW, Madrid.
That report was from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, mediacenter.dw-world.de. All the times I've announced are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time. Please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people to listen to international broadcasts using a shortwave radio at home. However, if you use the internet, listening globally is also quite easy. See the links at this program's website. Every Friday morning, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find internet links for international broadcasters, make a safe donation through PayPal, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report is free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.